Hallelujah. I'm just excited this morning. I'm like Pastor Chuck. I felt so liberated. So when he said the chains are breaking, I knew. I'm like, I'm free. Somebody say I'm free. You know, that's your cue. That's your cue. So he says the chains are breaking. I say I'm free. I'm going to get ready to run on with him. And then I saw myself running out into the sunset with him. Sunrise and sun going down. See myself with the Lord. Good and the bad. I see myself with the Lord. My way or no way. I see myself with the Lord. I finally see myself with the Lord. That means I finally see myself in everything, not alone, but with the Lord. Oh, come on and give it up. I mean, you can, we ain't afraid to give him the glory in this house. But finally getting so far in love that it's reciprocating back, that we're really receiving him. Not just him receiving us. We are receiving him. You should see yourself with the Lord in every area. So, for one, when he said the chain breaker, the liberation just came into the room. And then the people just started to praise God. Because of liberation. Because there's nothing holding me right now. Because I'm not beating myself up and the enemy has nothing to beat me up with right now. I feel liberated. And just because he may got something to beat me up with, the power is so strong that what he do have, he can't use it against me. Come on, somebody. I'm liberated. Let me cover all bases. What he do have, he still can't use it against you. Thank you this morning. This journey is real. It's not one we need the word and we need to understand the word. And we need to know who we are in the word. And then we understand how we're supposed to receive the word. Be free. Continue to be free and liberated by the Lord. Me and Pastor Chuck we're gonna exhort this thing through this morning, but we just decided that whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do, he's gonna have his way this morning. So if you came in for a tidal wave of a breakthrough, come on somebody. If you came in with expectation, help us push this through this morning. Hallelujah. Expectation needs to always fill the building. Because it's your expectation that moves upon the preacher. Come on, somebody. It's not what I want, it's what you want. Glory be to God. You know, I run the services knowing I need something. So this morning, with the liberation, I want to exhort, my new is here. My new is finally here. Do anybody receive it this morning? Somebody say, my new is here. If you're listening online, my new is here. It's here. Mark 1 and 27. I think I can do this in 7 minutes. If I spend 3 minutes in Mark and 4 in Luke, I think I can do it. And I want to, before I read the scriptures, I want you to understand how you obtain that new, if it's something fighting your new. Faith comes by hearing. So if you hear something this morning that allows you into your new, receive it and take your new right then and there in Jesus' name. I feel an anointing. That means that your faith can go get your new for you. So you ain't got to sit there and beat yourself up. I don't feel it. I don't feel it. I don't feel it. I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see it. Your faith, if you hear it right, it'll go get it and bring it back to you. And that moment, that spiritual bolt moment, is your moment of liberation to go in and receive it. And nothing can stop it in Jesus' name. I feel that anointing. Come on and put your hands right there. Everybody's getting in this morning. Come on. Everybody's getting in this morning. Because faith comes by hearing. My new is here. So Mark 1:27 says, they were all amazed. So much amazed, they began to debate among themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him. When the new showed up, debate came too. The debate was about, let's keep it the way we know it is. But something new is coming. We feel it. We know it. It's all in the atmosphere. So much so that it had the power with the teaching and with authority. When Christ showed up, he brought new with him. When he gets ready to do something great in your life, he's bringing something new. He's not going to reach back to something he did a few couple of years ago. For some reason, we still look for him to do it exactly the same way. But I come to tell you, it's a new thing, baby. It's something new that he's trying to do. And when he figures out that you're getting so familiar with how he does things, he gonna trip you up at the same time too. You get to be surprised too. When your new comes, you should be amazed. You should be caught off guard of what's getting ready to happen in your life. You shouldn't already know everything, how it's going to be. Luke 5:36. And he was also telling them a parable. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and put it on an old garment. Otherwise, he will both tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. There's no way that you're supposed to look and be and act and have what you did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. There's no way that what he has for you now is matching what he did for you then. It's at a greater level. There's no way. There's no way. What is she saying? What is she saying? I'm saying that your new life does not match your old one. And it's going to be so evident that when they put your old life out there and your new life, there's no comparison to the new. There's not even a comparison. So for those that remember my old, well, that's just in your memory bank. You remember that. Can I preach it this morning real quick. For those that know my old, that's what you remember. Because my new life is so matchless that I don't even remember. Somebody say, my new is here. My new is here. The promises of God is what stands. His plans, what he have for you, is what stands. And exhorting what the parable is telling us is that no one can tear away the cloth from a new garment and then try to put it on the old. And if you let me say this morning, I want to say that nobody should even take the old piece of garment and try to put it on the new. You're like, well, this is all I know. This is the transition this morning. Somebody is getting ready to transition into the new. The reason that the transition is so hard in the realm of the spirit and sometimes physically is because you want to take something from the old and transfer it over to the new. And I'm telling you that some things right here in old don't even have the right to be in your new. Come on. It has no rights. The new has already been set. All it needs is you. The missing piece is like, well, all this needs to go over there. And if we can just pack up everything. It's time. Tina say the new is here. Pack up. Pack up. Jim, Carrie, call all of them. Call all my cousins. Tell them to pack up too. We all going. But the transition, Courtney, is a spiritual gate that you're getting ready to walk through. I feel this in the name. I feel it in the realm of the spirit. That as you go through the spiritual gate of transition, I believe that there's angels just policing at the gate. And they've already been given orders to what is to come with you and what has to be behind you. Well, I know fact they're not going to stand at the gate of Chuck and say, Kim can't come. Let's get it straight. They're not going to stand there and debate about Kim. Because Kim is connected to Chuck in such a way that when they see Chuck, they see Kim. So in fact, they're not just looking for Chuck. They on the outlook for Kim too. Come on, somebody. That means that it's an automatic transition. What am I saying? That's connected to you that's supposed to go is an automatic go in Jesus' name. That means my whole house gets to go with me. That means it don't matter if my kids are packed up or not. They go in the name of the Lord. It doesn't matter if Makaya got to leave 5 pairs of shoes behind. She still got to go. Some folks, she's like, we got to go, baby. We got to go. We got to go. We got to go. Baby, we got to go. We got to go. Just go. Just go into the new. Because this anointing is so powerful that if you take charge and go into your new, the policing angels is on the lookout for everything that's supposed to come with you. Come on, somebody. Give me some more mic on this, Chris. Because I'm going to preach it and sit it down. I'm telling you that everything in your life that's supposed to go into your new place will go into your new place. It doesn't matter if they read it today or not. When you get to your new, it's like they look over and say, we want to go. It's automatic. There's something spiritual happening now. And there's people shifting into a gate of transition. And they get into the gate, and there's debate at the gate. The debate is because things begin to come off at the gate. Certain areas that you go in, they Tell you, take it off. You go through the airport. Take it off. Okay? Take it off. Take it off. I don't care how rich you are. You're not going to get that open bottle of water through that airport. I don't care if you bring Trump with you. And he tell them to let you. They still not going to let you bring that water bottle with that water in it. You're going to stand there and gulp that whole thing down. Or throw it in the... Because when you get through the security, there's guidelines set up about your life. Because the new place has already orchestrated everything for you. And there's things that you don't even know that you don't need. But in the realm of the spirit, the breaker, the chain breaker, breaks the chains off of you. The chain breaker stands there, breaks it off in his presence. Why in his presence? How you know? How I know, woman of God, is that if you get to the gate, you in his presence. Come on, somebody. If you make it from an old season and get to the gate, you got there by his presence. Somebody say yes. How do you know? Because your old want to keep you so bad. Let's have fun. You know, we have fun all the time. You know, we kick it. We go, you know how we do it. Come on, it's not fun without you. You know, just create something new over here. And you try that too. You ever try to create something new in your old season? You're like, okay, I don't even got to go nowhere. Since y'all giving me the power, I'm just going to create a whole new season in my old. And how many know it's the same result? Nobody knows it but you. Nobody knows that you're getting the same result but you. Mystery is a decision making. Because while everything else is going as normal, only you know this is not my new place. I said, while everything is going on as normal, only you know this is not my new place. Because I've went in the presence of God. And something is telling me to transition. And I believe that when Pastor Chuck from last Sunday with the resurrection anointing and the power that we know you have, that I have, and the chains being broken in the presence, I believe that this morning liberation is getting you to the gate. We can't just prophesy you to a gate. The presence take you to the gate. I can speak over your life and speak over your life and speak over your life. But until you allow the presence of God to take you to the gate in his presence and you trust him, if you have trust issues, you won't even trust the presence to get you to the gate. It's too scary. It makes me feel uncomfortable when things are moving in my life. You know, because when I move with God, everything else moves around me. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Well, ever since when I had got to that gate, you were talking about things just start breaking loose. Yeah, I know. That's what happens when you get to the gate. That's what happens when the anointing pushes you to the gate and you stand there. Well, I'm still standing. Just stand there. Well, I'm still standing. Just stand there. Because when the gate opens, the chains begin to break. The chains begin to break. They're breaking in his presence by you standing with him. And you need to be encouraged today about going into your new. So when you get in this area here, you stand, you're like, well, do I, you know, like, God, do I have my hair curly? Do I have it straight? I mean, do I wear that dress, that Sunday morning dress? Oh, the hat, you know. I mean, what should I wear when I get there, you know? How much money do you need? I mean, who can I take with me? Can anybody go? Just you go. See, Steve, when you go to the gate, there's an anointing there on the outlook for Roxanne. It's automatic. Because we'll be preaching religion. If we say, y'all got to go at the same time, wear the same color, think the same way, tell them when you get to the gate, give her the code, and she'll have the code when she get to the gate. No. I'm going to use my own house. When I get to the gate, I'm going to let the chain breaker break me. And then I'm going to go in. And then my prayer life, my newness pulls my house. And as it begins to pull, I don't know which one coming first. I don't know which one going to hurry up and be right there. That doesn't matter to me. What matters is that my whole house can come. God. What matters is that the whole house can come. This life has already been planned for you. So you don't have to bring the planner with you. The calendar. You don't need the calendar. This next move of God is so glorious, it outweighs your calendar. The days of the week, the months of the year, it is so unknown and fabulous that you only want what He has for you. This new place is a place where you only want what He has for you. And you know, He's a forgiving God. Because I'm not going to tell you that when you get there, you're not going to think about what you could have did over there. When you get here, you will have of sudden thoughts of how you thought it was going to be. When you get to a new place, there is a reminder of how it was over there. But the glory of God is so powerful that it's overtaking on a daily basis, that it engulfs you in His presence, and it sends a confidence that you're standing in the right place in the name of the Lord. Somebody say, my new is here. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Somebody say, my new is here. In Jesus' mighty name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to just pick right up with that. I'll get you into scripture in just a moment. But I want to just embrace the new, because see, when God is doing something new, He's opening up possibility that didn't exist before. He's opening up possibility that was in His heart, but it was not yet in your vision. So He's setting something in your vision to embrace. And so this morning, I just wanted to, let's go, where do we want to go? You know, in Matthew 3, we've been speaking about that. Let me just review that real quick. Matthew 3 and 11, it says, He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And His winnowing fork is in His hand, and He will thoroughly clear His threshing floor, and He will gather His wheat into the barn, and He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That's really good news. He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That means we don't have to worry about the chaff, because He's going to deal with it in the process. He's going to burn up the chaff even as He puts the wheat in the barn. So the good thing is going to get put up in the barn. It's going with you to the new. But the bad thing is going to get burned up, and it's going to be consumed by the Holy Spirit in fire. See, sometimes we have to recognize, because see, not everything that occurs to you is you. Not everything that happens around you is you. So how do we get there? Let's see. I'm just trying to judge this in a matter of moments here. Remember from last week, let's go to last week, let's go to Romans 6 real quick. Hallelujah. It says, therefore, verse 4, Romans 6, verse 4, therefore we've been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we might too walk in the newness of life. So if we've been united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we'll be united with the likeness of his resurrection. See, there's a certain power and an authority that is coming. When the resurrection begins to happen in your life, it's releasing you into the new. The Lord Jesus himself couldn't walk in the new until the resurrection happened. He could walk in the plan of God. He could declare what was going to come. He could be where God told him to be. But until the resurrection, he couldn't bring it all into fullness because it hadn't yet been released. But he's releasing it. He's releasing it for your life today. He's releasing it for your life today. He's releasing a new to happen in you. He's releasing a resurrection power to break free of the things that have tried to entrap you. He's to break free of the things that have tried to engulf you, the things that have tried to keep you in the dark. He's bringing a light into the darkness today to bring a light into the situation to begin to proclaim his testimony. Hallelujah. Remember last week we began to say that breakthrough is someone else's testimony. That resurrection is someone else's prophecy. That resurrection is a prophecy that begins to speak into your future. Hallelujah. So this has an effect. Go with me to Hebrews 10. Let's go with me to Hebrews 10. Because we've been speaking, or actually specifically, LaRue's been speaking, Pastor. Has been speaking about the two eyes out of Matthew 6. The eye that's clear. In other words, the eye that is focused on what God is doing. The eye that has in it the vision for where God is going. You know, when we say we behold his beauty, when we say we behold his beauty, I believe it's Psalms 27, he's saying he's beholding his beauty. That means to have an eye or a vision for his favor. To have a vision for his favor. And so when we begin to have the eye for God, we're actually having a vision for favor in our life. And he said, but sometimes when our eye is evil, in other words, when it's full of the toil of the world, when it's full of the cares of the world, when it's full of the annoyance and disturbances and distractions of the world, when we lose sight of what God is doing. And sometimes we discussed last week or the week before somewhere in here, we discussed that, you know, sometimes those things can even be good things that cause us to lose sight of where God is taking us. It's not always something evil. It's not always something ugly. It's not always something sinful. Sometimes it's just a distraction. But God is looking for us to have an eye that's clear, an eye that's single, an eye that's focused on where he's taking us. And as it's focused on where he's taking us, it brings with it possibilities. Hallelujah. If our eyes are going to be focused, it's going to be focused on the Lord, then it gives us the opportunity to embrace what he's doing. And it gives us the opportunity to embrace a new relationship with him. Because if there's only one thing that we can get out of this clearness of eye, out of clearness of sight, that one thing better be a relationship with him, because out of that relationship can flow everything else that needs to flow. Remember in 1 Corinthians 13:13, it tells us that there's faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Why? Because if you've got love, the other things will come with it. If you embrace his love, then the rest of what you need, the hope will begin to happen. And the faith will begin to come forward. Why? Because now when you embrace his love, you are already secure in him. Hallelujah. I'm supposed to get you to Hebrews. Verse 2. See here, in Hebrews here, we've been under, he's speaking and he's trying to release them from the idea of going back under the law. See, some of the Hebrews have been under persecution, and because they've been under persecution, we don't understand what that means, but that persecution has actually caused them to lose their inheritance. It's caused them to lose their seat in the sanctuary. It's caused them to lose everything in their life, and they have one thing that they can count on, and that's Christ. But see, because of that, some people wanted to fall away. They wanted to step back and this, you know, let's go back under the law just a little bit. Well, there's no going under the law just a little bit. Either you're under the law or you're not. We got to step into the new because we don't need to be under the law anymore. We need to be fully in His grace because His grace has prepared a place. His grace has prepared something for you that is yet to come. It's come and it's preparing a liberty for you. I can tell you what, I am enjoying the liberty, the freedom. I'm enjoying liberty and freedom. You know, when we started doing this thing, this thing with Tina and I sharing and doing different things, different weeks, I'm enjoying it, but I'm enjoying the liberty. Because, see, there's a freedom that's come into my life because of this. When you embrace the prophetic, see, there's a prophetic anointing that begins to break things free. And it's not just breaking it free in me, but because it's breaking it free in me, it's breaking it free in you. Hallelujah. Okay, we're back to Hebrews 10. So because of this, they were continually making sacrifices year by year. But verse 2, otherwise they would have ceased to be offered because the worshipers. Let's back up to 1. For the law, since there's only a shadow of good things to come and not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifices year by year, which they offer continually, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they have not ceased to be offered? Because the worshipers, once having been cleansed, would no longer have a consciousness of sin. See, there's a consciousness of sin that the enemy wants to keep you under. There's a consciousness of sin he wants to keep you oppressed with. But see, then Jesus steps into the scene. His resurrection power steps on the scene. And because of His resurrection power, then what we can see in verse 10, or verse 9, He says, "Behold, I've come and do thy will." And He takes away the first in order to establish the second. That's the second testimony, the second covenant. And by this will, we've been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ Jesus once for all. Verse 12. "And He, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God." He offered one sacrifice for sin for how long? How long? All time. And for one by offering, He has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Verse 14. Now I want you to see the good news. Because see, when we're stepping out of the old and into the new, there's an identification. He said, verse 17, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." There's no more remembrance of those things. There's no more being governed by those things. And when Romans 6:14, it says that your sin will no longer have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but you're under grace. In other words, I've been set free from those things. I no longer have to go to the altar day by day by day by day in order to try to set myself free. He says, it's already been done. Just walk in it. It's already been declared. Stand in it. I'm not remembering it. Why are you? Now, that's not a license to sin. That's a license to walk free. Because if we're looking to the freedom, we're no longer being held captive by the thing that was besetting us. When you're looking to the freedoms, when I got saved, I began to look to the freedom. I began to see things that I never saw before. And alcoholism and drug addiction fell away, and I didn't have to walk in it anymore. God it's done. "Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus." See, when you step into the new thing, when you begin to recognize the new thing, when you begin to recognize it's not my righteousness, it's not my acts, it's not the things that I can do, it's His doings, and He's already done it, and He's already declared it, and He's prepared a way. And by new living way, a what way? A new and living way. He inaugurated for us through the flesh, that is, the veil that is His flesh. We become a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near. Let us draw near with a sincere faith, sincere heart, full of assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Our bodies washed with pure water. Real quickly, I'm going to just read what this evil conscience is. Because sometimes we think it's I think I said a week or two ago, you know, it's like, what is it? I'm Gru, you know, and before he meets the children. Anyway, whatever. If you get the reference, great. But here, evil here means full of labors, annoyances, hardships, bringing toils, annoyances, and perils. Full of peril to Christian faith and steadfastness, causing pain and trouble. In other words, the world system. When we begin to be free of the world system, when we're no longer bound by the things that the earth has tried to put upon us, by our circumstances have tried to establish in us, we no longer have to believe that past season. We no longer have to stand and let that thing dictate the rest of our life. We can begin to recognize what God is doing and recognize I'm free from that. I don't even have a conscious remembrance of those things anymore. Let me tell you how that works. Cover your ears, Mom. In my family, if you were a male and you were Miles, you were expected to be angry. It was just the way it was. And out of that, there was plenty of actions that basically destroyed everything it touched. And it was such in my life that when it would come upon me, I could not recognize and stop it. It owned me. For the first time that I recognizing that it owned me, I was, cover your ears again, come on. It was in the eighth grade. Some of you heard this. But there was a young man, actually he was a man already. He was 16. I was in eighth grade. He was 16. He was still in my class. And all year he persecuted me. All year he persecuted me. And then one day, after physical science was over, he came up and he shoved me into the locker and knocked my glasses off. Now, I don't know why, but my glasses have always been a trigger. Because without my glasses, I can't see. And without my glasses, you know, all security, all sanctuary just went away because you can't see. I don't know what happened next. I do know that all I saw was red. From the moment my glasses flew off my face, I remember my glasses, I can still see them in my eye, and everything went red. And when the red cleared, I'm on the floor, I'm kneeling on his chest, and I have his ears in my hand, I'm banging his head into the floor, and there's about 100 students all up and down the hallway, yelling and screaming and watching. No one's stopping me from killing this guy. I didn't know. Yeah, I know, I see. I didn't kill him, but I could have, and I would not have known, because the rage, because the anger, because everything that had been pent up in me got released into that moment, and it was there, but I had no stopping it. It wasn't something that I even did on purpose, but I began to recognize at that moment, I began to think that this is my power mechanism, because it could protect me. It could help me. I can hear to tell you, it doesn't help you. It only owns you. And that continued in my life throughout many different incidences. And I know I would disappoint all of you if I told you all the incidences. But there was a moment where I was set free. Because in the moment, there came a day where I began to recognize that this thing that has been with me all my life, it's not me. It's not me. I may not know how to separate it yet, but it was not me. Because there was a day coming when I'm sitting on my couch and I'm sitting and I'm praying and I'm just reading the Word of God and I'm totally at peace and my son yells something down from upstairs, downstairs, and it's ugly. And instantly, I'm sitting there and I do this. I jump off the couch and I take two steps and I hit the stairs going upstairs. How long does that take? Less than a second. And I was fully enraged. It was wholly enraged. And as I hit that first step, I recognized I can't possibly be this mad because just a second ago, I was totally at peace. So therefore, for the first time in my life, I recognized this thing is not me and I don't have to respond to it. I recognized for the first time in my life it was a spirit that had been hanging around. It was very familiar, but it was just a spirit, and it had to go. I said, in Jesus' name, anger, go, rage, leave. And I was immediately back at peace. And I went back, and I just sat down, and I said, hey, if he's late for school, that's his problem. He can pay the price. I don't have to be involved in that. I don't have to deal with it. But for the first time, I recognized that my issue, which was the issue of my life, that had just totally been discombobulated because I recognized it wasn't me. Now I ask you, what issue takes control over your life? What fear? What insecurity? What unworthiness? What defensiveness? What shame? Because whatever it is, it might be familiar. It may have controlled all of your life. But it's not you. It's not you. That addiction, it's not you. You have authority over it. When you begin to recognize I'm separate, you can step out of that old and into the new because it's not you any longer. It's not you. When you recognize you have authority, you have immediately can be delivered from it. Does that mean that I've never been mad since? I think you can understand already the truth of that. But it doesn't own me anymore. It doesn't own me. It doesn't control me. Because now I can, in certain circumstances, my trigger point is way different than it used to be. You can touch my glasses and be okay. You know what gets hurt? You want my glasses? But my trigger point is way different. But I can tell you, it doesn't change me anymore. It doesn't own me anymore. I'm not compelled to do that thing anymore. I can tell you, it doesn't matter what your issue is. When you see that it's not you. When you see that I don't have a remembrance of this evil. I don't have an evil conscience anymore. I don't have a remembrance of this thing. Why? Because he set me free. Why? Because I can go into the place of God, to the sanctuary of the Lord, and I can declare and set myself before him. And he's good. It's good. And he delivers you. I didn't have, all I knew how to do at that point in time in my life was just pray in tongues until something happened. And I can tell you, you can do it that way. But if you just choose to believe, God will set you free today. If you choose to believe, and you choose to understand, he gave you freedom from an evil conscience. He gave you freedom from those things. You can walk in it today if you choose to. You can see it's not you and be free today. Hallelujah. God has a beautiful plan for you. He has a plan to engage you. He has a plan for you to come in and to be with him. He's only desiring for you to be with him. Matthew 28:20. You don't have to look it up. It says, I will be with you always. Even to the end. I will be with you always, even to the end. You know why he said that? He told them that because they already understood that when the Christ came, that he would be with them always. I don't remember exactly. There's a reference to that in Luke, I think it is. But they understood that. So he wanted to make sure that they understood he will be with you always. But at the same time, John, it looks like a conflict because in John 17 verse 20, he's looking and he says that you can be with me where I am. See, both are necessary. It's not a contradiction. He already chose to be with you. He's looking for us to choose to be with him. And as we choose to be with him, that's how we step into the new. That's how we step into the victory. That's how we step in and let something new take ownership of our life. Hallelujah. God bless you. I'm way out of time, so God bless you.